Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's hear now two views on the most watched piece of legislation currently pending on Beacon Hill. It's the proposal dealing with transgender people and public accommodations. The state Senate overwhelmingly passed the bill last week in a 33-4 vote. The House is likely to take up debate next month, and the vote there could be much closer. Now, if passed and signed into law, Massachusetts would join 17 other states with similar laws already on the books. And last week, the Obama administration issued guidance directing public schools to allow transgender students to use bathrooms matching their gender identity. So there's a great deal of focus and interest over what's happening on Beacon Hill right now. We're going to hear from an opponent of the bill in just a moment. But first, let's speak with Andrew Taylor. He supports the Massachusetts legislation and is a transgender man, and he joins us in the studio. Andrew Taylor, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. So first of all, if I have your history here correctly, you came out as a man almost 10 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, November 2006.
2006. Okay. So just as background there, can you just tell us why is this particular bill important to you?
Important to me? I mean, it's tough not feeling like you have full protections in, you know, the city that you live. It's much more than a bathroom bill. I'm not protected in grocery stores, on highways, you know, anywhere shopping. Anything that's a public space, I don't have any legal recourse if something were to happen in those spaces, and that's really pretty intimidating.
Mm. Have you ever run into problems before?
I guess you could call me someone who's pretty lucky. I know it's radio, so you can't see what I look like, but I pass pretty well. So you wouldn't necessarily know that I am trans-identified. So I think this bill is helpful for people who potentially don't have the luxury of passing, per se.
Mm. Opponents of the bill say that transgender residents in Massachusetts are already protected under existing Massachusetts law, because back in 2011, Governor Patrick signed a law that extends anti-discrimination protections to transgender people in housing and employment. So why do you think it's needed for public accommodation specifically?
I mean, I think it's needed because that, you know, my daily life extends far beyond, you know, when I step out my door, I'm no longer protected. So that's great that I can't be fired. It's great that I can't be evicted. Those are all wonderful things, and I'm happy that that passed in 2011. But, you know, yeah, the moment I step out my door and go to the local restaurant, that's I'm no longer under the same law there.
Mm. Now, as you know, opponents of the bill have offered testimony on Beacon Hill. Andrew Beckwith, who we're going to speak with in just a moment, has said in various statements that the version of the bill currently pending offers no protections to women and children who, in his words, don't want to be ogled by or exposed to naked men in locker rooms or other intimate spaces. That's what Andrew Beckwith says. We'll hear a little bit more from him in a moment, but I'm just wondering what your reaction is to that.
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting argument. I'm actually eager to hear what he has to say. But I think it's tough because, you know, as a trans person, it's not like I'm trying to linger in the bathroom. I'm not trying to go in and cause a scene. For the large majority of trans people, you want to go in, you want to go out, you just want to go to the bathroom and leave. It's not necessarily a kind of thing where I'm looking, you know, to assault someone, you know, an innocent victim. I think in sort of thinking about that argument, it a little bit feels like we're sort of targeting the wrong population in a way. Because trans people trying to use restrooms aren't faking it. They're not faking their trans identity to exploit something. It seems as though the people who might be doing that are cisgender straight men, right? That's the worry that you're going to have cisgender men who are ogling straight women.
Just for people who aren't clear,
totally.
By cisgender you mean?
Cisgender, presumably Andrew Beckwith identifies as cisgender. So trans means across, cis means beside. So ideally, you know, in his world probably his gender and his sex match up. Mine do not. So that's just the little Yeah, prefix.
Yeah. Well, I'm also looking here at some testimony that a woman named Kaylee Triller offered to reporters at the State House earlier this month. She opposes the bill, and she responded directly to some criticism that transgender rights advocates had been giving, saying that, look, they were saying that people who oppose the bill are basically, in their minds, equating transgender residents with potential sexual predators.
Correct.
And Kaylee Triller responded, and she said, quote, "Nobody on my side of the equation is calling transgendered people sex offenders." And she said, "It doesn't matter how many times she says that, it can't be overstated." And then she added, quote, "What we are standing opposed to is bad policy written on subjective terms that nobody can prove." I mean, I guess it seems to me what she was saying is that there isn't enough evidence or data on either side to show, you know, who would be protected or who wouldn't. So why write policy based on inadequate, research or data? And okay. Your response to that?
I mean, I don't necessarily feel like I fully understand the second part of that sentence, to be honest. It sounds kind of muddled in its own way. I hope that's okay to say. But I think that, for trying to say that you're not calling trans people sex offenders, that's sort of the only message I'm receiving about this whole thing, is that is, for whatever reason, the thing that's holding it all up, is that that's what people are anticipating happening.
Well, Andrew Taylor, my final question for you is, as we mentioned at the beginning of the segment, the bill did pass the Senate overwhelmingly in a 33-4 vote. Mm-hmm. Debate's going to be taken up in the House possibly next month, and the vote is likely to be closer there. And as many people might know, Governor Charlie Baker hasn't indicated with any clarity whether or not he would sign a bill should it land on his desk. So there's a lot of uncertainty here remaining. But just say for a moment the bill does not get passed and it does not become law in Massachusetts. What impact do you think that would have? What would that mean?
I sort of see it as a piece within a larger social puzzle, honestly. Working with young trans children, it's really hard as a healthcare provider to be inspiring and instilling hope in those kids when we can give you treatment, we can do all that, but once you're out in public, you have to watch your back because you have no legal recourse, and it's just hard to sort of wholeheartedly do my job knowing that once they sort of step out of the bounds of my office, they're on their own in a way that is pretty scary. Mm-hmm.
Well, Andrew Taylor is a transgender man and in support of the Massachusetts legislation that would provide anti-discrimination protection for transgender residents in public accommodations. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, sitting right next to Andrew in our studio today is Andrew Beckwith, president of the Massachusetts Family Institute. And again, he joins us in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the Mass Family Institute has been one of the leading opponents of this bill. Can you just briefly lay out to us what your primary concern is?
Right. Our primary concern is about privacy and safety issues in specifically bathrooms, locker rooms, public showers, and other changing places in public accommodations.
And do you have any evidence that people's safety would be at risk?
Well, we do have, if you go to our website, nobathroombill.com, which talks specifically about this issue, there are a list of, I think, over a dozen at this point, instances where anatomical men go in and use women's facilities. Some of them claim to identify as transgender, others don't. But either way, if we normalize the presence of anatomical males in spaces that are typically reserved for women, intimate spaces, that endangers both the safety and the privacy of women.
But what I don't understand, Mr. Beckwith, is you said that we have a dozen incidences where people were using facilities, mm-hmm. but I didn't hear you say that anyone's safety had been compromised, that an arrest had been made or an attack had happened.
Well, there are some specific cases where, again, these men are taking pictures of women or children. So we don't think that we should wait until there's an actual physical sexual assault to talk about what we see as common sense concerns. For example, in Washington State, just a couple months ago, where Kaylee Triller is from, and where they have a statewide regulations that are similar to what this legislation would do in Massachusetts, there was a biological male, anatomical male, who identifies as female, who It's using the women's locker room, the sauna, actually, fully nude in the sauna of a women's locker room at a state college. Some high school girls complained because they were there practicing with a swim team using the college facilities, and they were told that this man, because he identifies as a woman, has every right to be there. So they weren't sexually assaulted, but they were exposed to a naked male body that was not wanted by them, that to them was an invasion of their privacy. And that's the type of thing that Kaylee Triller is talking about, that can actually be a trigger for re-traumatization psychologically of women who have suffered sexual abuse in the past.
I'm curious, though. I mean, the House version or a version of the bill, one that was in the House, included a provision that would allow for the arrest and prosecution of anyone who misrepresented their gender identity,
right,
and did, you know, perhaps something along the lines of what you said, although I didn't even hear you say that person had been misrepresenting. Couldn't that be protection enough then?
Well, I think the language the House inserted was to direct the Attorney General to create guidelines or procedural rules to deal with people who use gender identity for an improper purpose. Right now, we have that improper purpose language actually in the definition of gender identity in Massachusetts already under existing law, but there's no definition of what the improper purpose is, and there's no criminal penalties for using a gender identity with an improper purpose. Now, do I think that'll make the bill better? Knowing what we know about the Attorney General and her position on this bill, that's the same woman who a couple weeks ago said that people like myself or my wife or my daughter who have concerns about the repercussions of this bill should just, quote-unquote, hold it if we need to use the restroom in public, if we're uncomfortable.
Well, that's the Attorney General. I mean, I'm sure it seems as if the discretion would be left to maybe local DAs.
Well, it's the Attorney General who is being authorized by that provision in the House version to come up with the rules and procedures for how to deal with potential enforcement of improper purpose. But I do want to make a point, and I'll hand this to Andy here. This is a letter from the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination from last fall when there's a public hearing on this bill, and they make it very clear that they have a legal authority to protect transgender individuals in public accommodations from acts of discrimination. So according to the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination, transgender individuals are covered under public accommodations because they, like the Obama administration is currently doing, they interpret sex to include gender identity. So I'm happy to tell you that you have legal recourse right now in all areas, again, except bathrooms, locker rooms, places like that.
I want to ask you, though, I feel like this argument that there could be potential harm, potential danger to women and children is one that we've heard for many, many years in this country when it came to, keeping the races apart or not letting gay men and women integrate more fully in various aspects of society with straight men and women. And now we're hearing it again here that there's this constant fear of predation, which then turns out it doesn't ever turn out to be true.
Well, I mean, let me ask
I mean,
this
guy hasn't fallen.
Do you have kids?
My family is not really at issue here.
Well, I mean, that is the issue, because when I was testifying in opposition to this bill in front of the Judiciary Committee back in October, I asked them, what about my then 5-year-old daughter? Do I have a right as a parent to be concerned about potentially her safety if we're having a bill that allows any man? And here's part of the problem with the bill is that the definition of gender identity that already exists under Massachusetts law is extremely broad. It doesn't require hormone therapy or a psychologist's note or any sort of documentation of medical treatment or even a consistent holding of one gender identity or another. So there's really no way, and this is what Kaylee Triller was talking about in her statement, there's no way to police this bill and make sure that other people, cisgender or otherwise, don't take advantage of it.
Well, Andrew Beckwith is president of the Massachusetts Family Institute. Thank you so much for coming in today. And we heard a little earlier from Andrew Taylor, a transgender man who's in favor of the Massachusetts transgender bill currently pending on Beacon Hill. We'll continue to follow this issue as the debate continues on Beacon Hill, so stay with us and send us your comments at radioboston.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.